All right, next up we've got Amanda Taylor. Here she comes. Amanda Taylor practices law here in Austin with the Austin office of Butler Snow, and she's the head of the firm's appellate practice group nationwide. Amanda is board certified in civil appellate law. She has had every honor at Rising Star, Super Lawyer, every honor that an appellate lawyer can have. But one of the many noteworthy things about Amanda is that she cares a lot about sending the elevator back down and lifting up those who are coming behind her. She has, for a decade, has participated in the mentorship program through the Travis County Women Lawyers Association, and she was recently awarded the Larry York Mentoring Award from the Austin Bar Foundation. And Amanda is going to talk about jury charges.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. what an excellent morning of speakers we have had. And in that regard, you might be wondering, why is Amanda up here to talk about jury charges? Why is it not David Keltner? Or maybe you think there's a typo and I'm going to give you a TCPA update instead of a jury charge update. But I think for this presentation, that means you have to figure out if you either need to object to my defective submission as your speaker, or do you need to request that Judge Keltner come up here? But if you don't get a ruling from Ms. Weber, it doesn't matter, and you're stuck with me. So what are we going to talk about today? I'm going to go over the procedure related to jury charge practice and try to give you some practical advice for how we handle these things. We're going to talk about preservation of error, of course. That's our favorite topic. Do you object? Do you request? You have to get a ruling. I couldn't have a jury charge topic without touching on Castile, broad form versus granulated. I think that might be actually why I am up here, because Jane and I had the opportunity to duke that issue out about a year ago in a really fun case that ended up settling, so we don't have an opinion to tell us the answer that I was right. and I'll touch on some standards for appellate review when you do get a jury charge issue up on appeal. With all of these topics, I also want to, because this is an update, I want to alert you to some recent holdings on this topic. And in preparing this paper, I informally interviewed a handful of sitting district judges, and I got their impressions on jury charge practice so that I could provide you with tips from the bench, because we all know that's what we care about the most, is what do the judges think when you are in their courtroom arguing a jury charge. So procedure and practical advice. This is the big one, and I know I'm preaching to the choir in a room full of experienced appellate counsel, but you have to start the jury charge early. You have to start it, or you have to encourage your trial lawyer friends to help you help them and start early. Every single judge I talk to emphasized repeatedly that trial lawyers need to start working on this issue earlier in litigation. And when you're having happy hour with your trial lawyer friends, you can use this as a business development pitch, because we know this is what the judges want you to do. So what kinds of things can you tell them, you know, casually about jury charge practice over a cocktail? Your pleadings have to support anything that's going to be submitted. That's Rule 278. And even if you have a valid jury charge error that has been preserved, the Court of Appeals cannot grant you any relief unless the pleadings support that error. And so you could get all the way through to the end and be on appeal and find out that you still don't get relief because the pleadings were insufficient. And so if you start drafting the charge early, it can help you identify where is there maybe a defect or a gap, especially thinking about the measure of damages. Does the measure as pled, is it supported by the liability theory? And so when you're working on the charge, even if it's just an initial outline, this is what you can be telling your trial counsel of, we need to amend the pleadings. Or maybe you're identifying a defect in the opponent's pleadings. That's really fun. When you know that they've got a defect that you're ultimately going to be able to use strategically, but you want to know about that early. Also, discovery. We all know the charge provides an outline or a roadmap of the critical issues and elements that you're going to have to prove. And so when you are drafting requests for written discovery, when you are preparing for depositions, you have a checklist of everything you need to prove in the case, or that, again, maybe your opponent is missing. You can identify the gap in their case.